We have a few announcements that I want to highlight for you on the back of your worship guide. The Extreme Spring Kickback, that's going to be this coming Friday. Oh, there's, I don't know about that. I'm not paying attention to that. But the Extreme Spring Kickback, that's going to be this Friday at Austin's Colony Park starting at 5:30. That is a children's ministry thing where us as members and Hope Group leaders and Hope Group members get to come and serve kids. And so this is going to be an exciting time, and we want all of y'all to come and join us. So if you would, after church tonight, go right back to the back. There's a table. Just sign up about where you want to come and join and help out to serve kids. There's going to be a church-wide work day on May the 2nd. We're meeting at 9 o'clock. That's a little bit of a change. In the past, we always met at 8:30. This time, we're meeting at 9 down at Living Hope College Station. Come and serve with the body throughout the community during that and just help glorify God. Hope Group members and leaders, remember this is Relationship Week this week. That means you go out and meet new folks. And so that's what we're going to do this week. The following week is Ministry Week. And so we want to be sure and get out and serve the community. And that happens to coincide with the work day and the Extreme Spring Kickback. So there's lots of opportunities already built in for you to get out and serve the community. Lastly, there's a new members class coming on the 9th of May. It's Saturday the 9th, and it'll be at 3:30, and we'll be right back here at the other end of the hallway. And that if you are interested in becoming a member, interested in finding out what membership is at Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan, then we invite you to come and join us for that time. Now let's sing a song and worship.
Actually, we're going to read.
Okay, actually, we're going to read.
Turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 147. And as we follow along, Chad's going to read that.
Okay.
Wait a second.
No?
Wait a minute.
No.
Make sure we get there. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing the praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is the Lord our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides the food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse or his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who puts their hope in his unfailing love.
Amen. And as we prepare our hearts for worship, just take a couple minutes to think about that and to, you know, realizing that God is great. He gave us the clouds. He gave us the rain this weekend. He is so good. And yet he also wants to know us. He wants us to know him. He is so great. So take a couple of minutes and pray that we would understand how big and great God is and how we are nothing compared to him. Pray with me. God, you are so good. We just come before you this evening. We want to sing to you. We want to praise your name. Lord, help us to worship you. Help us to realize and understand how big and great you are. You are worthy of our praise this evening. We love you, Lord. God, please help us. God, help us to lay everything else down in our lives right now and come before you. As if no one else was in the room but me and you, Lord. Help us to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, can you guys tell me, is this on? You guys tell me what this is, what I got here? Got some suckers. You guys like suckers?
Yeah.
Yes, you do? Well, you know, I was sitting there today, and I was like, you know what? I think it'd be a good thing if I got these kids some candy, some suckers. And so I went to the store, and I got these suckers. And then, I don't know, I got out of the store, I was just like, you know what? I really like suckers. You know what? I think I like suckers more than they like suckers. You know, I don't know, I'll give them a red one, and they won't want a red one. Or I'll give them a blue one, and they won't want a blue one. And, you know, and so I just thought about it. And, you know, I'm sitting up here, and I'm looking at these suckers. You know what? I think I'm just going to keep these. I think I'm just going to keep these for myself. How does that sound?
Dad, why did you bring them to torture us?
No. Let's see what the Bible says. In 1 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may attain a blessing." Guys, it would be evil for me to buy these for you and for me to keep them for myself. It would be evil. That's just mean. But guys, God has blessed us, you know, and he tells us to bless others. He says, "Do not repay evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless." And so when he blesses us and we don't pass that on, we're being evil. We're being wicked. We're being like me, keeping these suckers. And so I always want you guys to think about that. Think about all the ways that the Lord blesses you and the many blessings in your life. And don't enjoy them. But they're not just meant for me, for you to enjoy. They're meant for you to pass those on and to enjoy those with other people. And so that when we come together, that we come together like tonight in church, that we have brothers and sisters, that we've been a blessing in their life and that they've been a blessing in our life. And we can rejoice because all that's the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord in our hearts. So you guys will not get the suckers now, but after children's, you guys will get the suckers, all right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you bless us, Father. Your ultimate blessing being Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, Father, that we celebrated last week. Father, that I pray that we celebrate every day of our lives, Father. And so I just pray that your Spirit would work in us, Father, that we may bless and we may show this world how great you are, how loving you are, Father. So be with us, guide us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey.
If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 8 tonight. You know, one of the things that's kind of blown me away lately in our series through 1 Peter is really how amazing it is to see how some of these scriptures seem to be so new to people. It's like you've never heard it before. It's like you never realized that you were supposed to respect and submit to authority. Like you've never heard that. In fact, I've heard different things like, you know, I've heard this my whole life, but even in the church, that basically, I'm only going to submit to someone I agree with. If I don't agree to them, I'm not submitting to them. And just unapologetic, just matter of fact, not even realizing how blatantly unbiblical that is and how that contradicts the Word of God. Or they feel that the respect has to be earned. And the only way I'm going to respect you is if you earn my respect. And then if I want to live in rebellion to you, then I get a chance to do that because that's my rights as an American citizen. And I understand that. I know that's what we've been trained with. And I know talking disrespectfully about our president is one of the rights that's protected. But as believers, it's not okay. And not only does that include the president of the United States, but that includes one another and the way we talk about one another. The way that we submit to and talk about our spouses, our children, our parents, our employer. There is a real sense to where rebellion has so infiltrated the church even. We're kind of shocked whenever we see passages like we've read in 1 Peter. And so I want you to understand, first and foremost, I know it's a high standard. I know what God's calling slaves to do in that context, to their employers, and wives to their husbands, and husbands to their wives, and us to one another. I know it's a high standard, but it's the standard. And that's just cut and dried where it is, and we need to understand that. And the reason this is so important is because just last week, we looked at the amazing and beautiful resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just last week, we talked about him. And basically, I ask you to consider what you really believe about Jesus based upon what you believe about the gospel. So often, I think, summarily, we just say, yes, I believe that God put skin on, 100% man, 100% God, lived in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect, sinless life for over 30 years. He died on the cross in my place, paying for my sin. He was buried. On the third day, he arose victorious over sin and death. And I believe and have turned to that gospel as my only hope for forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And you say you believe that. And my premise last week was this. If you really believe the gospel, then you can believe that God will help you and handle things and help you handle things, whatever they may be, in your life today. If you can believe that hard stuff, surely you can believe the easy stuff in comparison to the death, burial, and resurrection of God, of a God-man. And so when you and I quit making excuses about worry and depression and defeatism and anger and bitterness, then we begin to get a chance to see God move in our lives. And that's what I want to see happen tonight. And I think that's what Peter wants to happen in the people's lives that he's talking to as well. Because basically what I'm going to call you to do tonight, now that we're back in 1 Peter, is just simply to be consistent with your faith. If you say that you trust in the resurrection based upon what the Word of God says, then you need to trust what the Word of God says concerning submitting to authority and respecting authority in one another. And for those of you who are single, including your parents. And you cannot disregard them just because you think they're messed up. They're still your authority. They're still your authority, and you need to understand that, and you need to recognize. Because what we're going to learn today is that selfless unity brings God's favor to the humble. If you really want to see God's favor, God's blessing, you want to experience God's practical grace, it can never be about you again. It can never be about you again. Look what he says there in verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally. It's like Peter's saying, okay, finally. You know, I'm getting to the crux of this. He says, all of you. That means every group of Peter's been talking to and everybody else. So this is a catch-all for everybody that's going to hear this letter. And so in other words, if someone is saying, I don't have to deal with that. I'm not an employer. I'm not married. I'm not, you know, none of that. I'm not an employee. I'm cool. None of that applies to me. Uh-uh. All of you. He already did that earlier. Let's go back and look at that to make sure those of you who think that you got off scot-free already. Let's just look at verse 17 of chapter 2. He says, show proper respect to everyone. That includes you. And then he says this, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. And so just know that whenever he says all of you, it applies to all of you and me, all of us. And here's what he says to us. Live in harmony with one another, which literally means have the same mind. It's talking about unity. It's talking about a oneness of purpose and thought, an understanding that we are in this together. So first of all, you've got to begin to think the same as one another. And the only way you're going to know if you think the same as one another is you're going to have to spend time together. That's why doctrine in the church is so important. You doing your own thing, you having your own beliefs, you just going out there on your own as a lone ranger has never been God's will in the church. That's why everyone serving in the body of Christ as a part of the body and as gifted by God is vital. It is rebellion when you choose not to do that. Okay? So So you cannot have the same mind if you refuse to be involved in the ministry. That's why I loved when 201 went up there. And a lot of y'all know what 201 is up there. And the Spirit of God said, you need to go back there, and y'all didn't do it. You're in this together. Serving back there is just as much worship as staying in here. And when you have the same mind, you're not always looking to be served. You're not always looking to get out of it what you want to get out of it. And so I want you to just think about what Peter's saying here and why this is so important as it comes down the road. Obviously, they got enough help because they had to put it up twice. And so praise the Lord, the Spirit of God, I know, used that to get enough people back there. And then he says this, be sympathetic. That means compassionate with others that are suffering. Compassionate with others, bless you, that are suffering. Boy, that was a cute little sneeze, though. I mean, man, when I sneeze, you all know about it. And so, anyway. And then it says, love as brothers. Talking about brotherly love and affection. This is something that's rocking my world right now. I don't know if I'm going to get to it tonight, but I may. Be compassionate. That means to be tender-hearted or to literally be good-hearted and humble. And humble. And now this applies to all of us. We are to be unified. We're to be sympathetic or compassionate. We're to love with a brotherly affection. And we're to be tender-hearted to those people who are hurting. Just think about that. And we're to do so with the humility that has only been modeled before us by Jesus Christ. The best definition I've ever come across about humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. True biblical humility means that you understand and you know by relationship that all of life is about Jesus all the time. Every single second of every day. Not just when we gather together as a local body of believers, but as you sit at home, as you watch TV, as you consider all the options of your life, humility says, God, it's about you and your glory, and I want to exist that way. Now, let me just throw this out there. Let's think about our homes for a second. How are you doing even in your home? Let's go back and look at those again. How are you doing with seeking unity in your home? Being compassionate when someone in your home suffers injustice or hurt or pain. How are you doing at loving in your home like a brother? How are you doing at being tender-hearted with that wife who all she does is cry? I just want to make it really applicable, men. And how are we doing at being humble? And it's one of the greatest places where we can grow in holiness is in our homes, whether you're married or not. And yet so often that's the very place that for many of you is one of the most divided places you live. And we just settle for that. Guys, it doesn't have to be that way. And it's never the way that God intended for it to be. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let that describe your life. And can I tell you, church, when that begins to describe our life, the world's going to take notice. They're going to take notice and they're going to say, man, there's something good about being a follower of Christ. There's something different about being a follower of Christ. And you and I are their only witnesses to see that happening. And so we cannot lower the standard of the Word of God just because it's hard. That's the standard. And that's why we need the very practical grace of God. That's why we must always understand that we need God's help. And so I think one of the things I want us to think of first and foremost is that little does more to detach us from this world than suffering and difficulties in life. Man, life is hard sometimes. Heartbreaking, painful, much injustice. People treat us bad. We have difficulties. Financial troubles, emotional struggles, painful times. And so, man, when we go through them in this world, we begin to wonder, man, is it even, man, this place ain't so great. Pain is like God's megaphone, C.S. Lewis said, to get your attention, to let you know that you need him and that he's there. And so it will detach you from the world. So listen, heaven is a very real and beautiful hope and promise for us. It's something we can say amen about. It's something we can be fired up about. One day we're going to see our Savior face to face. And we ought to amen that. But it's not necessarily today. And so we can't be so heavenly minded that we don't allow eternity to affect our today. And so what Peter's telling them and what I think he's telling us today is that they need help from one another. They need someone who sees life the way they see life because they're facing intense pain and intense suffering and persecution because of their faith. He's writing to them, love one another, help one another, be unified together, be compassionate, be sympathetic, be humble as you interact with one another. Don't allow pride to create division. Don't allow pride to harden your heart towards hurting people that are going through struggles. You need one another. You need each other's help. And so understanding that, I think it's important for us to understand, we are to be one another's help just like family. And y'all know what I'm talking about whenever I'm talking about family. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but our family, I mean, literally, Jerry Springer. I mean, I'm telling you, if Jerry Springer would have been there back in the day, that would have been the Smith family or the Smith-Jennings family because we were a blended family. And I'm telling you, I'm not joking when I talk about the cussing, the hitting, the fighting, everything. Okay, so think about that. I could do whatever I wanted to do to my family, but you couldn't. You couldn't. I could say, do, act in whatever way I wanted to, but you better not badmouth my mama, my daddy, my brothers, because it was on. Okay? I could pick on my little brother, but nobody else could pick on my little brother. And I'm telling you, I would act a full-blown fool to go protect my brothers. And I mean, we would do the same. I mean, it was on like a chicken bone if someone wanted to fight us. I'm telling you, it was amazing. And so what God is beginning to do in my life is show me that beyond agape love, we're to love one another as family. And y'all know you will put up with stuff with family that you'll put up with from nobody else. And you will be burdened for your family. You will be broken for your family. You will pray for your family. You will give them chance after chance after chance after chance. That exact same kind of love is the kind of love we're to have for one another. And so when you go through struggle, just like you're my brother or my sister, I am supposed to hurt just like. And if it means I need to drop everything and pursue you and love you and be there for you, that's what I'm going to do. Even whenever you say mean things about me. That's what we do with family. It don't even make sense. But that is supposed to be applied in the body of Christ. You and I cannot say about anybody in the body of Christ, I don't like them. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be with them. And be okay. In fact, Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, if you know that a brother has an offense against you, leave your gift at the altar. You can't even worship until you go make things right and get reconciled with your brother. And so the reality of it is we need one another. And until we get that, until we're humble enough to admit that, man, I can't make it by myself. And until we're willing to cut one another a slack whenever we don't respond the way that we ought to always respond. Because a lot of us have never been taught how to respond. Listen, some of you get angry because you don't feel like you're pursued the way you ought to be pursued in the body of Christ. How are you pursuing? You reap what you sow. If you're not good at pursuing, if you're good at griping, don't be surprised if you get griping in return. Love as brothers. It's an amazing concept as you begin to think about it. We are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. You women in Titus chapter 2 are to be taught how to have brotherly affection for your husband and your children. It is a serious, committed love. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm understanding what the Word of God is saying right now, I've got to love you in ways just like I love my brothers, my mother. I mean, even in many, many contexts, because I live with y'all in the same city, I get to love you more and get to express love to you far more than I get to express love to them. How you doing it? Loving like a brother. With an undivided devotion and willingness to go through whatever you got to go through to help one another walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. When you hurt, I hurt. When you do well, I do well. When you act in a fool, I'm going to let you know about it. That's what brothers and sisters do. And you should be able to say things to your family that you can't say to anybody else. But can I tell you, you always got to walk around on pins and needles because you're afraid you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. People start hating on you, gossiping about you. What would you do if your family gossiped about you? You would call them out. That's what families do. And yet we're afraid to be family. And so when Scripture calls us a family of God or the household of God, we need to begin to look at ourselves that way. And so, Josh is my little brother. Josh probably doesn't want to be my little brother. But he doesn't have a choice. He does not have a choice. And when I find out that Josh is bad-mouthing me in public, guess what I do? I front him out. Because I love him. I love him. What? Yeah. Anymore. Yeah, anymore. See, he just had to go there. I just had to, you know, I mean, so the reality of it is when you begin to think about it like family, it's really hard. I mean, for example, in my family, if you didn't take care of your responsibility growing up, you had to face the consequences. Today, in the Bible, that's called church discipline. Okay? It was a whooping. In my family. And really, it was a beating. I mean, in my family. It was aerobic exercise for my mama. So, I mean, crazy, that woman. Crazy, crazy. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this. I was talking to someone about this the other day. Probably today, it would have been called child abuse. What my mom did. But can I tell you, my mom loved me. And the worst thing that could have ever happened to me is would have been taken out of that home. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Which, by the way, where did that come from? Since when did it come okay and cool for college guys to smoke cigars? That's just stupid. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Who told you you got to damage it for fun? That was all free. I really think Paul captures the essence of this truth to remind us the source of this kind of love when he says this. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, some of you should have recognized that passage because I read the next passage last week, reminding us that our role model is Jesus Christ. Reminding us that the reason that we act in love and live this way is because we've been called to act in love and live this way. And so when Scripture says it, either we're going to believe all of Scripture or we're going to pick and choose what Scripture we're going to apply in the context of the church. And so if you're here tonight and you're not faithfully plugged into a local body of believers, find you a local body of believers to plug into. And if you are plugged into a local body of believers and you're not serving faithfully, you are in rebellion to the clear teaching of the Word of God. Quit. You will never be blessed in that rebellion. And so our unity in Christ, because of the impact of the gospel, motivates our unity and our love towards one another. Now, we're getting a chance to practice that between three independent churches, Living Hope Bryan, Living Hope College Station, and New Life. Y'all, here's what we've kind of figured out about those three churches. I don't know if I shared this with you last week. Living Hope Bryan is the happy, clappy church, okay? Living Hope Bryan basically took 90% of our happy clappies, okay? Y'all are one blessed group of believers. Living Hope, New Life is our frozen chosen church, okay? They took about 90% of our frozen chosen people. Living Hope College Station is still both. Okay, so we got a mixture of that. It's real funny to hear the different people describe it like that because they just really get on. It doesn't matter. The key for us is that you're worshiping God. The key for us is that New Life will reach people that Living Hope Bryan will never reach. Living Hope Bryan are reaching people. New Life or Living Hope God Station will never reach. The issue is the kingdom. The issue is the gospel. The issue isn't which is better. It's that God's gospel is going forth and people are being reached. And so we're not better than one another. We're different. And unity in the midst of the diversity is the only thing that shows the world there's something different about those people. Anybody can be unified with people that are just like them. Anybody. Whenever you begin to see the Spirit of God bring diverse socioeconomic groups in, diverse races in, and you begin to see God organize His church and build His church the way He wants it built, you begin to see His blessing. And some amazing things happen. So here's the deal. You know, Alan Duty and I were talking about the message this week, and one of the things that we're really both very committed to and helping people understand, man, if you came over here to get away from me, or if you came over here to get away from the way we used to do it, if you came over here to get your way, you ain't going to be too happy here either. Because unless y'all fire me, I'm going to keep coming around. Okay? And y'all have every freedom to do that. But understand, I think God's heart is that we would have the same mind. And then as we learn to do it with these three churches, we can begin to have an impact to other churches in the community and hopefully to the ends of the earth. You know, we may start and plant a church from these three churches in Dallas one day. We may plant one in Houston one day. We may plant one in Africa one day. Who knows what God's doing? We just got to not let it be about us. It's always got to be about Him. And we've got to learn to love one another as a unified, sympathetic, compassionate, humble people that understand what it means to be a family. And let me just tell you something. There are a lot of orphans in this world besides the orphans that y'all go pick up. A lot of you are orphans in this room right now. Maybe you have a parent that died and you don't know, you don't have an older man to talk to. Maybe there's been a divorce in your family and you don't have a mother. Maybe your mother died. Whatever it is, you've got someone in the body of Christ that can play that role in your life if you'll just humble yourself and seek help. Okay? And listen, don't wait for people to pursue you. Your spiritual growth is your responsibility, not theirs. Quit blaming it on the church. Quit blaming it on your past. Quit blaming it on what they didn't do for you because it's not about you. It's about Him. We need to understand that. So in light of that, look at what he says next. Verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. With blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You and I were called to bless those who hurt us, who insult us, who do evil against us. That ain't happening in our flesh. You and I cannot work ourselves up to bless someone who's hurt us. That cannot happen apart from the grace of God. But he is telling you to tangibly bless people who are doing evil against you and people who are insulting you, even in the church. In fact, I'll tell you, the meanest people I've ever met have been in the church. I'm not proud of that, but I have been treated worse and had worse things said to me in the church than any place I've ever been. And I'm talking any place I've ever been in my life. And so that's why I know Peter's talking about, I know y'all going through some stresses, but you can't take it out on one another. But not only is he talking about in the church, he's saying, man, when your boss is a crazy person, you've got to make sure that you don't go back at them. You bless them. You don't gossip about them like everybody else. You bless them. You say good things to them. You give them favor. You be the hardest working employee. Why? Because God's worthy of that. You can't do that. I can't do that in my flesh. I can't have a positive motivation and talk myself into being that way. Oh, I may do it one time, but I can't do it consistently. Because look at what he says next, verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. I'm going to tell you right now, many marriages, many home situations would be fixed if we just shut up. Keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. So many times we just lie out of habit because we're afraid that we're going to get in more trouble. We lie out of habit because we're afraid of the impact that it's going to have. So we become peacekeepers instead of peacemakers. Listen, he says he must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. The quote from Psalm 34. If every one of us operated this way, how could we have a church split? How could we have problems in our marriages? How could we have struggles with our roommates if every believer acted this way? Impossible. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. Revenge is never God's will for you and me. He'll take care of it. He promises you in Romans 12, he's got your back. So that's why I tell married couples all the time, it takes both of you being in the flesh for you to be able to have an argument. If just one of you is right with Jesus, you can shut it down. I know some of you hear me say that right now, say, man, my wife can really go, man. I mean, she can push my buttons. Amen. Amen. She can push your buttons. Don't let her. Can I tell you, the less she pushes your buttons, the less she's going to try. She'll try something else now. She'll go for another button. But, I mean, it's the enemy wants to create division and hate. But you, sir, can be the leader and lead lover in your home. Deny yourself, just like Christ denied himself for you. He says that if we will do that, he said we were called to bless. And he says, so that you may inherit a blessing. Favor, the grace of God. If you will live this way, you will be blessed. It's a promise from the Word of God. How many of you want life to be better? How many of you want to know God's at work? I would submit to you, all of us do. Then you've got to be obedient to His Word. And the only way you can be obedient to His Word is by His grace. If you've never turned to Him the first time in repentant faith, you've never become a new creation that could even possibly do this so that Christ could live his life out for you. So I invite you to come to know my Savior today. I invite you to acknowledge your need of a Savior today. And this is what he says next. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The righteous are those who do the right thing according to God's standard and word, no matter what the immediate consequences may be. Righteousness is right living according to God's standards. He says it very clearly. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Who? The righteous. You living unrighteously, you living wickedly, God's leaving you alone because that's what you've told him to do. When you're living as a believer an unrighteous life, you've told God, shut up, I've got this one. You've told God, I don't care what your Bible says, I'm going to only submit to those people I agree with. I don't care what your word says, I am not going to suffer for doing the right thing. That's how willfully people have just said to different hope group leaders that they're willing to be rebellious. I'm not going to submit to him until he starts loving me like Christ of the church. That's rebellion. It is unacceptable. And sir, it is unacceptable for you to say, I'm not going to consider my wife until she starts submitting to me. That's unacceptable. That's rebellion. But understand, you have no choice but rebellion until you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Until you've received the free gift of eternal life, the grace of God for salvation. And then he says this, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Basically, instead of having God pull with you, you got God pulling against you. That's not very smart. He's God. He's more powerful than you. He knows more than you. Why in the world do you want, as Jesus said to Paul, kick against the goads? Why do you want to go against God and not even realize that you're going against God sometime? You see, we must never doubt that God sees and that his favor and help will come to those who do the right thing. Now, it seems like at times that his help is coming way too slow. And it seems like at times that his help comes in a way that is the wrong way. We prayed one way. God chose not to answer that way. And so the enemy, the accuser, says, yeah, God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really care about you. Because there's a lot of pain in this world. Some senseless tragedy that is meant to shout to us. See, it's at times when they come too slow that we got to remember the gospel. And it should drive us to him and say, God, I need more grace. The most beautiful and humble prayer you and I can ever pray to God is help. One word, help. Because we know we're not making it, yet so many times we try to act like we've got everything together. Guess who's the primary source of help for you in your life? Besides spiritual help from God, don't misunderstand me, I know that. Us. We need one another. We need one another. And that's going to require transparency. It's going to require honesty. It's going to require humility. It's going to require boldness. It's going to require truth. It's going to require for us to know the Word of God. It's going to require us loving one another enough to get involved in each other's lives. Just like we do our own family. Just like we do our own family. You know, I'll never forget, you know, something that a lot of people don't understand if they've not been through a divorce. My dad left when I was 2 years old. And I want you to know that all I ever wanted as a little boy, all I ever wanted was to spend time with my dad. I loved that man. I was angry at him now for abandoning me. But I loved him. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And that's a man, he didn't want to have nothing to do with me. It is natural for a little boy to want to love his daddy. And it's a broken heart that causes you to go anywhere else. So as I recognize that love, it's that same kind of love that I'm supposed to have for you. And that's going to require supernatural commitment and connection between all of us. So that's the level of care and concern we need to have. So I want to close by looking at three passages very quickly that I think should either really encourage and warn you. They're either going to encourage you or they're going to warn you, depending on what side you are of righteousness. Let me just tell you these because I know some of you are going to write them down. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. James 4, verses 6 and 10. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, James 4, 6 excuse me, and 10 in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Like I say, they're either going to encourage you or they're going to warn you, depending on what side of righteousness you're living on. In Galatians 6, 7 through 10, it says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." 15 years before the first person in my family became a believer. 15 years. I wanted to give up many years ahead of that. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially, it says there in verse 10, to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, we're to take care of one another. We're to do good stuff for one another. Listen to what he says in James chapter 4. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Jesus always has and He always will take care of you. He loves you. He loves you. While you were yet a sinner, He died. Grace is about His unrelenting pursuit of a right relationship with you when you weren't looking for Him to pursue a right relationship. That's why 1 John is so serious about the way we love for one another. We cannot love God and hate our brothers. He calls us a liar if we say we love God who we have not seen and hate our brothers who we have. That's how serious God is about unity and about love and compassion and tenderheartedness in the church. So I ask you, what nature are you sowing to please? You see, some of you are the same place you were when you first came to Christ. It's because you still are trying to live the Christian life on your own. You're still trying to do it in your own strength, in your own flesh, for your own reasons, for your own glory. Bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt rule you instead of hope and holiness and the grace and the mercy of God. You got a family here if you'll just accept it. If you'll just be an important part of the family, God will rock your world. In fact, there are many of us in here who can tell and share testimony of how God has used us to radically encourage and restore our lives, to bring healing and help and hope, and daddies, and grandparents, and brothers, and sisters, and cousins, and aunts, and uncles, and how we understand the beauty of family, and being there for one another, and fighting for holiness, and help, and healing together, even when sometimes we don't want it. And that's the way it is with family sometimes. They're hard-headed, but we got to love them in the midst of it. And it's natural. Biologically, it's supernatural, spiritually. But that's the committed type of love God's called us to have. And if we'll have that kind of love that doesn't seek revenge, God promises us blessing. He promises us favor. But it can never be about you ever again. Never be about you. It's going to be about us, the family of God. We are in this together, and we need each other's help to live as followers of Christ. So how are you doing as a family member? How are you showing up and doing the dishes? You know, in our house, one of you growing up, one of you had to set the table and one of you had to wash the dishes. I hate washing dishes to this day. How are you showing up, church? How are you involved in ministry? How are you involved? Listen, you will never be blessed if it's just about you. You will never be blessed if you come here just to take, 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 and you're not giving, giving, giving. You cannot be blessed in rebellion to the Word of God. What a horrible heavenly daddy that would be. What horrible earthly parents we would be if we let our children live in rebellion and didn't discipline them because we love them. Let's pray together. Father, I just really sense that there is some bitterness, some anger, some unforgiveness, some judgmentalism in this place tonight. Yes, I know that there's complacency and apathy and rebellion. So clearly, just by the decisions not to plug into a local church and to be a faithful servant of the body of Christ. But you're going to have to change hearts. I can't. And I thank you that I don't have to. Because I know some hurting people need help in this place tonight. And I pray that they will be humble enough to ask the body, to allow the body to minister to them. Father, break through today and bring great hope and healing and restoration in our midst. We need you. We need you to do that. We need you to heal marriages, relationships between parent and children. We need you to heal hurt, broken hearts from church abuse, churches that have hurt believers, so that we could see you do something beautiful for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, that you're our perfect role model for how to suffer well in the midst of persecution and pain. Let us understand that even that we were called to be a part of. So let us understand and learn from our sufferings instead of continuing to have to go through them over and over again. Bless tonight's time of invitation. Draw people to yourself, I beg you. Amen. Tonight is an opportunity for us to experience healing and help and hope. It's an opportunity for you to be prayed over. It's an opportunity for you to respond to the message that you've heard. It's an opportunity for you, maybe in this room, in this very room, to go make make things right with a family member, to make things right with people in the body of Christ. Don't worry what anyone else thinks about it. We're family. And hey, if they gossip about you, that's their sin problem. Go call them out on it later. I heard you was gossiping about me. What's up? We're family. Understand, not everybody agrees with this. They don't like the connection. We love Lone Ranger. The enemy's good at convincing us that we can handle everything our own. You can't. God never intended for you. Let's stand together and let's respond as God calls for you to respond. I'll be up here. I'm sure Alan will be up here. We'll pray over you. Whatever it is you need, you just come and tell us. The altar is open as well. Let's sing to the Lord. A right relationship is as simple as one decision. One decision. To turn to Him in repentance. To simply say, God, I've blown it, man. I've messed up. I've let sin, or I've let my own ego, or I've let my own pride, or I've let my bitterness, or my anger, or my unforgiveness, or my hurt feelings, or y'all know what all the different things that we allow to get us all out of kilter and out of the will of God. But all we got to do is just make an about face, confessing our sin. And He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, some of you need to get that today. You need to understand that God's grace is greater than your sin. But God's grace is also greater than the sin of those who sinned against you. We can't have it just one way. We can't receive all God's grace and not extend God's grace to one another. We can't experience all God's love and not spill it out onto one another. And listen, man, when people are hurting, we've got to love them enough to spend the time. And can I tell you something? Emotional commitment and spiritual warfare with someone else is as physically tiring as anything you're ever going to be a part of. But that's what you do for family. And we need each other. We need help. We need help. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Now, those of you who are here and you think, oh, I don't need nobody. Man, God opposes the proud, Do you understand what you're saying? You want God working against you. That is not very smart. But he will give grace to the humble. He'll give you help in whatever area you're struggling with. You'll just let him. And a lot of times he's going to use people in this room, people in the body of Christ, to help you hear from him. That's what I love about experiencing God, is it doesn't discount, that class does not discount the importance of the body of Christ in speaking God's truth and God's will into your life. We need each other. All right? What an honor it is for me to get to come over to Living Hope, Brian, and preach here. I appreciate that. And I know that as long as God will let me be around, I'll be around. But the reality of it is, this is a distinct local body of believers. This is Living Hope, Brian. Y'all are all important as part of it. All of you. One of the things I've observed is, let me tell you something I'm observing already. Some of you serve way too much already. And some of you ain't serving enough yet. I don't know how you're going to reconcile that, but listen, people will get burnt out and they will leave if they're having to start serving in the flesh. It's a warning. It's a warning. Everybody needs to be faithful. Everybody needs to step up to the plate and minister to y'all's vision points. Y'all may need to go back and look at your vision points again, but one of the ones I'm burdened by are these children that God's given y'all a passion for. And if you've not been back to children's worship yet, to serve in children's worship, I would think that as a member of Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian, you are in rebellion. Everybody, all ages, are needed to be a part of that ministry. Okay, that's just a free observation based upon what I heard at the meeting whenever y'all were called to be a new church body, that y'all wanted to be in this together. And one of the weaknesses we had at Northview, y'all, was that we had a bunch of college kids that ministered to them, but not a bunch of families that could care less about those hurting orphans and kids that are going through difficult times. Where else are they going to see a healthy family but your family? So anyway, that's all free. Let's stand together and sing a closing song. So good to see you today.